Now, first of all, today's date, let me get used to teaching. Today is September 5th, 2022, Monday morning, and I welcome the students brave enough to sit in front of me and everyone around the world. Just following up yesterday's shiur, it hit me between the eyes. I've lived in Israel 53 years. No one can convince me that the Agudat Yisrael and Degel HaTorah really believe in Torah. I don't believe it. And you see, they're fighting. It's a week before you have to finalize the names of the candidates. And today, according to the news, they're going to run separate. In other words, they're risking establishing a left-wing Arab government, having a government where trains and buses will run on Shabbos. It doesn't bother them one bit. And this is a classic example. Are they frum? Absolutely. Are they Ehrlich? Absolutely not, with a capital N. And I sign on it. And all right, that's what the Baron Soloveitchik was talking about. Now, Jack, if I understood Jack correctly, I made a mistake. It's not I made a mistake. At my age, I now have regular glasses that are multifocal, and I have reading glasses. So far, when I teach, I don't use reading glasses because somehow I can read and I want to see who's sitting in front of me and on the screen. But yesterday I quoted a tshuva of Reb Menashe Klein, and Jack tells me I said tshuva mispar resh. It's tshuva mispar dalet. Okay, I read the resh as a dalet, so if anyone wants to find it, I quoted it last week. It's the tshuva I quoted, last time we met. Okay, and I also, one other drop of information. If you recall when we spoke about Reb Aaron Soloveitchik and the fighting and everything that went on in Chicago, so one student, Elchanan Erbit, was arrested for causing a commotion and speaking on a loudspeaker when people went to mikveh and telling them it's not a good tefillah, it's not an Orthodox conversion. So I got an email from my dear Talmud, Rabbi Nachum Shmayahu, how do you pronounce his last name? It's spelled Sajak, and Yomo tells me it's pronounced Zayetz.
Zayetz.
I'll never learn it. And he writes that in due time in Chicago, he became a Lubavitcher. And I think that he got encouragement from the Rebbe in regard to his activities. I'm not sure if this is true. If you would like, I can check into the details. Well, I don't know if the Rebbe encouraged him or not, but it's interesting, he became a Lubavitcher. Elchanan Erbit is currently retired. I think he currently lives in Muncie and learns in Kollel all day. So that was the individual that fought so valiantly for Rabarin's position. Okay. Here we are with the Satmarov, and we've gone through the Vayoel Moshe. Again, I don't want to criticize, I don't want to refute. We'll get there. But first, I want to understand the Satmarov. Now, the Vayoel Moshe that I'm quoting from is the final edition. The Vayoel Moshe, where he deals only with the three oaths, L'shelo yalal b'choma, lo yimdu k'neged umot olam, etc., that came out first, and that deals with the prohibition against establishing a state of Israel, sovereignty, before Mashiach comes. The middle part of his work, which comes later, where he deals with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and he has to deal with the real problem because there's a mitzvah, according to the Ramban, it's a mitzvah d'oraita, to live in Israel, to establish, to fight for Israel. And there he reaches the conclusion that Ein Hachinami, if one is a tzaddik yisod olam, he has a mitzvah, but how many tzaddikim do we have like that? and chas v'chalila, you'll go to Eretz Yisrael, you'll have neighbors like Aaron Rakefet, and they'll corrupt you, they'll ruin you, and better to stay in Chutz La'aretz than to go in Aliyah. And that's the second part. The third part is Maima Lashon HaKodesh. And that's what we discussed towards the end of the last term, that there is no that Hebrew, I want to summarize them correctly, that Lashon HaKodesh should be used in the study of Torah and davening, but it's not a language you use on the street, it's not a language you use for secular purposes. And he brings proofs from the Gemara itself that Jews always spoke many different languages besides Lashon HaKodesh. We know Aramaic, we know from the Gemara at times in the Midrashic literature, more than the Gemara, you have Latin words, you have Greek words, and Jews were always at home in many different languages. And for Haraya, when I was growing up and you went to Williamsburg, you heard a lot of Hungarian on the streets. The Hungarian Jews, Ungarische, many of them, their native language was Hungarian, and they were more at home in the Hungarian language than Yiddish. That has shifted today. I would imagine, I'm pretty certain I'm right, in the greater Satmar world today, you don't hear Hungarian. You basically hear Yiddish, you hear English, perhaps French, but not Hungarian. But I can still remember 70 years ago, 60 years ago, you certainly heard the Hungarian language on the streets of Williamsburg. So when it comes to Torah, all right, you speak Hebrew, but it's not an obligation, and certainly not to use Hebrew on vain or vulgar or mundane secular topics. Now, when all this is said and done, he makes his point, he doesn't overly stress it, but then he comes to women studying. And I want to pick up where we left off, and here we're going to see something very fascinating with the Satmar. I'm going to cite a source that just came out that shows you it's part of his personality. But let's begin at the beginning. I trust you recall the Gemara in Saita, which I quoted last term. There's a whole sugya, Daf Yotet, V'Hala, and Sota. And it deals with a sultan, it deals with drinking of the bitter waters, and Rabbi Eliezer says, Chas v'chalila, we should teach our daughters Torah. They don't know what to do with it, they'll misuse it. It's kilu limda tiflut. Tiflut is a mighty strong word. To translate it, you can translate it to vulgarities, profanities. I thought that would be a proper translation. And Benazai comes along and differs with him and says, no, we have to teach our daughters Torah because in case they have to drink the bitter waters, they have to know shahaschut tola. What does it mean, haschut tola? That a woman, they'll drink, I'll bring you right up to date. I'm performing a wedding later this week, it's grandchildren, and they arranged everything with tzoha, with the new rabbinate, call it what you wish, their permission, they were organized, and he came to my house yesterday and he brought me the ketuvah and what I need. I was very impressed, very, very well organized. I've been Masada Kedushin endless times since I came in Aliyah, and never did I see so well organized the ketuvah, the copy, what has to go back to the rabbinate, a spare copy in case there's a mistake, kol hakavod. So I went through the ketuvah and I filled it and I told him I'd rather do it per menuchat hanefesh than do it at a wedding where, you know, there's a lot of noise and you don't have the same menuchat hanefesh. So we filled it in, we worked it all out. Now all that's left now is, you know, to execute it, then the Kabbalat Kinyan and the Eidim, etc. All right, fine. What's one of the big problems we have today with the Ketuvah? How do you know a woman today, college campuses, I told you in the United States and in Israel too, if a girl is not religious and goes to a college campus and she's marrying a Kohen, all right, in Israel you have to, it's less of a problem because the Rov are Jewish men. In America it's a tremendous problem because Jewish men are a miyut shebemiyut. It's a problem. All right, I'm not paskilling la halacha now. Great minds have dealt with this, and we recognize it's a problem. Rabbi Tendler dealt with it, others. But here in Israel, what are you going to do? You're marrying a chatan v'kala, and they're not religious. You're going to start asking whether she's a virgin. I hate to say it, the chances are 100-1 against her being a virgin at the age of 21 if she's not religious. So we write in Batulta, we take for granted. We don't ask, you know, don't ask. They changed the Nusach there. Instead of Batulta, Ba'ulta, they have a different word. I think the Kala, they used the word Kalata, if I'm not mistaken. I actually have a copy in my room where I'm in my office. But they used the word Kalata. So I got to give them credit. They avoided the whole problem of asking questions. And you give, all right, 200. You give what you would give a Batula. And that you give Baratzon. I also was very impressed where they tell you how much the sum to put in the ketuvah. They say not less than, if I recall, not less than 50,000 and not more than 500,000. You follow? Because people, the Sfadim put in 1 million, 2 million. It's supposed to be it's supposed to be an amulet that you won't get divorced. And I hate to say it, if there is a divorce, that's a legal document, and it creates tremendous problems later with the divorce until they settle on a sum. So I was very impressed. Rabbi Grunstein, if you're listening, I have to say I was very, yesterday I criticized the Tzohar with the wine issue. Today I have to compliment them. Now, if a woman gets married and is suspected of adultery, she has to drink of the bitter waters. She'll drink the bitter waters and she'll walk away healthy, happy, go buy a Coca-Cola, Tamachayim, there are no good candy bars there. We're still suffering from Strauss, but I bought a whole box of Almond Joy in the shuk, so I'm like a little American kid again. And it's outdated. They sell it for next to nothing, but it's 90% good taste. You follow, it's outdated. They buy it up. It's very interesting how the world works. So she's the happiest person in the world. So you want her to know, Haschut Tola, that don't think you fooled God. It's just that God ruled that you don't deserve to die. You did good deeds that balance out the bad deed. All right, this is, I don't have to tell you, it's Chodesh Elul. Look into the Rambam, Hilchat Shuvah, you'll see already good deeds, bad deeds, balancing out the world. We all know what it's about. And that's why you have to teach a Torah. Now, look, let me give you the source, the Ramah. I've given so many lectures on this Ramah, but I'll assume you haven't heard them. Hilchat Talmud Torah, Siman Resh Men Vav, Sif Katan Vav. And the Ramah, and I quoted this at the end of the lecture last week, last time we met. Isha shalamda Torah yesh la scha v'loka scha ish b'tnei sheinu mitzuveh v'osah. Okay, a woman, and this is the whole question of a woman who's not chayevet, the mitzvah tasei shazman grama, does she have scha? So if I take a lulav and etrog, I have scha. If she takes it, she has less scha. Why? Because she's not commanded. And this is psychological. Believe me, Yomo understands this. When he's commanded, the Yetzer Hara fights, wake up later, good, tomorrow's another day. You understand? It's true, psychologically. When you're not commanded, it's a pleasure, you know, I can do it, I can't do it, I do it. So it's less scha. All right, beautiful. The afal pisha yeshlo scha, tzivu chazal shelo yelamed adam et bito Torah, mipnei sherov hanashim ein daitan mechavnat lechitlamed umotziot divrei Torah ledivrei havai lefi aniyat datan. Wow. These are strong words. These are strong words. Can you imagine the wonderful women listening to the Shira? Wow. Women, they're stupid, they're foolish. Listen, I have to be honest with you. My dermatologist, it was my student in Mechola. My internist, my neurologist, I taught her sisters. Rebani Shalom, I can go right down the line. They just recommended another doctor to me. It's a lady. The medical schools today, I have students who are heart specialists. What are you talking? Wow, I can go right down the line. So, what? Come on, let's be realistic. So, I'll tell you what the pshat is. The pshat is very simple. Today we live Baruch Hashem. I don't want to tell you my age. You all know it. I'm in my ninth decade. I'll soon be closer to 90 than I am to 80, okay? We live much longer. Go back to the time of Matan Torah and go back to Chazal. The average life expectancy was 35, 40. Women died in childbirth. We didn't have the medical ability that we have today, and I can tell you, B.D.D., I tell my own family, I have one daughter, granddaughter-in-law, had so much difficulty, and Baruch Hashem, and I give absolute credit to the State of Israel. One was Shmirat HaRayon. The government must have invested 100,000 shekel or more in bringing that child into the world. They took care of her for weeks, wouldn't let her budge. The livid incubator, love. And Baruch Hashem, 4 years old, an entire mensch today. And let's be makatova. So when a woman has a short life expectancy, at the age of 12, her father makes an engagement party, right or wrong, Yevod Lan Ketuvat, and the age of 12 and a half, 13, he marries her off. Now what do you teach a lady at that time? You teach her how to keep house, how to clean, how to cook, how to make butter, how to make cheese. I mean, just be realistic. So suddenly, If like Ben Azai says, you're going to teach her Torah, Shchut Torah, you're going to confuse her. You're going to make her, give her lewd thoughts. You're going to confuse, you're going to mislead her. And that's why Chazal took this position that a lady, Aniya Daitan, that doesn't study, doesn't read, doesn't write, come on, let's talk about Israel. Abe, were you here in 48, 49 when we were overwhelmed by all the refugees from the Arab countries? Tell me, what percentage of the women knew how to read and write? Do you know that If you were in the army then, or your daughter was in the army, or your wife was in the army, could very well be you were assigned, certainly the women, to teach the new immigrants how to read and write. And you got to understand, go back in history, even we big shot Ashkenazim, Charlie, in the shuls, wasn't there one woman who led the other women in prayer? A farzaga? She used to say the words and they would repeat them afterwards? Even in the Ashkenazic world, how many women knew how to read and write? So you see, it's not that Chazal are underestimating a woman. Eshet Chayil Mi Yimtza, the covet we give to women, if your wife is short, bend down and listen to her. Look in Hilchat Noshim, Perek Tatvav, Halachat Yotet, Chaf, the covet we give. But it was within a different civilization. And this brings us back to, I don't know, maybe one of the finest lectures, theme I developed that I've met people who heard the lecture 50 years ago, 40 years ago. They say it affected their whole life. And it was simple. I raise a question, is Torah given in a certain context that's the way it has to remain? Or no, Torah is given at a certain moment in time. But in every civilization, we have to interpret the civilization in accordance with Torah. And if you take the latter approach, you can understand that it may very well be that at a certain time, Rav Hirsch's concept in Torah and Derech Eretz was not applicable, could not be worked out, it could not be brought to fruition. If you have a different civilization, without Torah and Derech Eretz, we're going to go under. And if you're coming back to what I said a half hour ago with Agudah and Degel HaTorah, could you imagine that they're splitting over the fact that Bel's Hasidim introduced core curriculum? In my humble opinion, it's criminal to raise a child today without the ability to read or write. What are we talking about? I suffer that I wasn't brought up on computers. My great-grandchildren handle a computer better than I do. And I suffer. I'm dependent upon Yomo, okay? And this is... You can't get angry at this Ramah. He's quoting what was said at a certain time. And, all right, that's the Ramah. Amru Chachamim, Kol HaMalamed Bito Torah Ki Ilu Malamda Tiflet. Tiflet, no one knows what it means. Perish, we don't know who actually wrote this into the Ramah, but it's all over. Sources, Perish, Dva Aveira. Sinful to teach your daughter Torah. All right. Then the Ramah goes further. And here what I'm touching upon, let me tell you, Natan, you can do a PhD thesis. Where did this happen? And the Ramah, all right, it's the Rambam he's quoting. The med of a Ramamurim, Torah Shabbat Peh. Avol Torah Shabbatav, Lo Yalamed Otolat Chila. The Yimalamda, Eina Kimalamda Tiflut. And this, the main source is the Rambam, who formulates this in Hilchat Talmud Torah. And where did the Rambam get it? It's not a simple matter, but the Rambam says clearly, where is it Tiflut and where you're not allowed to teach her? Torah Shabbat Peh. Aval Torah Shabbatav. If you do teach her, it's not Tiflet. Now, so we see there's already an adjustment. Could very well be that the source of the Rambam is Hakel. Hakel, which this year, right or wrong, Charlie, Hakel this year, Matzoi Shnat Shemitah. I remember when I came in Aliyah, the first Takel, I was so ibigarash, so impressed at the Kotel, tremendous crowd, and the president, I forget, it has to be checked, was it Shazar? Actually, they read from the Torah, the president of the state, then I remember President Herzog read from the Torah. Ashreinu Shazachinu. By the way, in parentheses, Mr. Yomo, do you know that you have to make a Shechiyanu today? Can you tell me why? Charlie, for the first time in the history of the state of Israel, the Ramatkal is a Shema Torah mitzvah. It's a shame he doesn't wear a kippah in public. A shame. Maybe he's listening. But I have eyewitnesses. He doesn't miss davening three times a day. You know who his great uncle was? Rav Cook. Rav Yitzhak Cohen Cook. His whole thing. His wife, his children, totally in the camp of Torah, the camp of total Jews. You weren't aware of it. Abe, it was worth you coming to class just to learn that. You can be happy. Okay, so, wait a minute. So, Torah Shebech Tav, you can teach the women? Well, that's not enough. Natan, one day you'll get married. Tell me, who's going to run your kitchen? Your wife. Let's go beyond the kitchen. Taret Mishpacha. Totally the Heminla, the Sachala. Chazal say, you're totally in the hands of the woman. How will she know the halachat? To run a kitchen today, I have to be honest. It's nothing with nothing. You know, when I was growing up, my wife yet learned how to kasher chickens in Ramaz. She wasn't allowed to study Gemara. She's still mad at the system she grew up in. Women, no Gemara. Home economics. Kasher a chicken. I don't think my wife ever kashered one chicken. When we got married, the frozen chickens were beginning. I still remember my first rabbinate in Philadelphia. There was a big machlokes whether to allow in frozen kosher chicken, shrutei chutz. Rabbi Shens chuvah on it. And I got to tell you, frozen kosher chicken has changed the world. Today you can travel all over the world, frozen kashrut available, fruit, whatever you want. It's become so easy. It's Baruch Hashem, wonderful. But Taret Mishpacha, Shiva Nekiyim, Chatzitza, there's so many halachot that come out. And when can you be Tovel? How do you do if it's Friday night? How do you prepare? If it's Saturday night, how do you prepare? Etc., etc. No end to the she has to be a Lamdane. So take a look at the Ramah. This is very important. Umikomakom. This is the Ramah now. Chayavet ha'isha lilmod dinim hashayachim le'isha. Wow. Now, what do you mean? Dinim shayachet le'isha? This opens an entire world. Shabbat, kashrut, tarat mishpacha, chagim. But more than that, yirat shemayim, avat Hashem, yirat Hashem, gemilat chesed, the entire configuration of Jewish existence. All right, this is the house. Now, I'm going to come to the Yoel Moshe now, but one second, let me put this in so I'll know what I have here. I just want to go one step further. Now you can understand our position today. If the Rambam can be Matir Torah Shebichtav, and then you come in with the Ramah and it's based upon the Sefer Mitzvot HaGadol and other Rishonim, the Rama Paskins, all the halacha that she has to know. So you see, you then come to the Chafetz Chaim. Beer, where the Chafetz Chaim's Perush, where the Rif didn't paskin la halacha, so because it was halacha no heged bisman hazeh, and mei moro is not no heged bisman hazeh, so the Chafetz Chaim wrote a likutei halachot to fill in for the Rif. When you come to Sechet Sota, there's the famous Chafetz Chaim, where he discusses Ben Azai, Reb Eliezer, and he says, Bizman Hazeh, when the education at home is not so strong, and women go to school, at that time elementary school, at the Chafetz Chaim's time, some already even went to gymnasium, we have to start teaching our daughters Torah. And then you come to Moriu Rebbe, and you have to give the Rav a lot of credit. He took the position that Bizman Hazeh, where women can go to college, graduate school, have every degree in the world, his own wife had a doctorate. His two daughters had doctorates. Okay? At least one of his two sisters had a doctorate. I don't think Shulamit Maisman had, but Ann Gerber, I absolutely know, had a doctorate. Well, if they can have every type of knowledge in the world, Loma Nigara, why not Torah? And Lehefech, if you don't teach them and show them the beauty, the godlet, what Torah is about, you create rebellion. And that's the story I have. I can't tell you the name. I heard the story from the people involved, but they asked me not to use their name, but they said, Rebbe, tell the story. It's a beautiful story. It's a Hungarian family. Got out, survived the Holocaust, comes to New York, from 100% well-to-do, and Shabbos morning they come home from shul, father sits down with the boys and learns Gemara, kicks his daughters into the kitchen. All right. One daughter winds up in Barnard. No, I don't have to tell you. She's exposed to knowledge, professors. And she starts to resent her father's attitude and starts to question certain things about Torah, Devar Hashem, how we live. And there's a family wedding. And her brother says, come uptown from Columbia and meet me in First Hall, and after I give shir, I'll drive both of us to the wedding. So she comes up to meet her brother, and her brother, she's waiting, and her brother comes down in the elevator, finish shir, First Hall. It's a whole new YU that didn't exist in your time or my time. Right? You don't remember First Hall. It was just built. All right, in my time as a student, it didn't exist. Well, we davened there. Remember when we came in that time with the guitar? I imagine he's still there. Can I? What?
Third floor basement.
Third floor basement. So we davened there. And the Shelet and Shivat Chatam Sofer cooked him on. He's looking at him with the guitar. I got to make peace, Abe, with the new generation. It's Rosh Chodesh, and they got to get, you know, the guitar. It's not enough to daven. And what I want to tell you, Rakefid changes. He has that ability to live with the new generation. Got to ride with the waves. The Yankees finally won last night. Daila Hakima Buramiz. All right, back here. My wife heard me laughing. She knew already the Yankees won. Baruch Hashem, boy, what a disappointment. There once were players, you could, Hank Bauer, you depended on him. He didn't disappoint you. He was solid, all right. He wasn't DiMaggio, but he was a 280 hitter. You knew you could depend upon. Today's ball players, and then they get tremendous, they have one good year, get a tremendous contract, they never play again. They're not hungry. You follow the guy, then There's a guy, Stanton, you don't know what I'm talking about. I have the right name, Stanton. And he hasn't gotten a hit, I think, in 2 weeks now. He's injured, and that the Yankees are paying him, we could run 20 koilalim in Israel. All right, back here. So, you see, this was the rub. Watch what happens. Her brother greets her, and coming out of the elevator with her brothers, Mori Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik. And he introduces her, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rebbe, this is my sister, says to his sister, this is Rav Soloveitchik. Then they come to the door to leave first hall. And the brother and sister stand aside, open the door for the Rav to go out, right? That's what you would do, Abe. And the Rav says, quote, no, ladies first. And he insisted that she walk out first. At that moment, all her questions about Yiddishkeit disappeared. It was Matan Sinai, Nasa V'Nishma, V'Lev V'Nefesh, at that moment in time. So you see, the Rav, now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe agreed with the Rav, and I have to tell you, the Belzer Rebbe listened when he visited the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He gave his acquiescence that the Rebbe is right, and it's interesting. Lubavitch, I don't think they teach it as in their schools. If a woman wants to learn, they make it available. And I can tell you in my years of teaching, when I started teaching women, I taught women for 31 years, and my first class in Machon Gold had 31 women. One of them is married to one of those great women, Miriam, is married to Rav Aaron Adler, if you know who I'm talking about. The man, he just put out a beautiful volume on conversations with the Rav as he drove him around. And Miriam, she was my Talmida in among those 31 women. Not all of them are alive, unfortunately. Wonderful women. And I started teaching women. I asked Joey Epstein, my dear Talmud Joey, who's learning with the Rav, then asked the Rav if I'm allowed to teach, what I'm allowed. And I got an answer from Joey. I have it in writing. The Rav said, teach them whatever they want to learn. But when you do Gemara, don't do brisk with them. They don't have that background. All right? Teach them Gemara, Rashi, Tosfot, Rambamot. I got news for you. When Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein was giving shir in the Kollel, there was a year they were learning Baba Batra, and they had women coming. They had to stop it because there were complaints from New York that were set an example of co-education, and a woman applied in New York to read. It's many years ago, it's before your time. And the women understood Rabbi Aaron better than the, yes, Rabbi David Miller. I don't want to mention the name, that woman is no longer alive. It breaks my heart. They understood Rabbi Aaron better than the men. It was a very difficult shir, and Rabbi David, who gave the Chazara shir, asked who understood Rabbi Aaron, and this woman got up and gave the shir as if she was Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein. So today I wouldn't have that reservation. If you see they can handle bris, they can handle bris. I remember Machon Gold telling them, and Gabby Cohn, the dean, agreed with me. I said, if five women want a certain topic, we have to make it available. They want to learn Tanya, teach them Tanya. No problem. Likutei Torah, Likutei Torah. Gemara, certainly no problem. And all right, all my daughters can learn a Daf Gemara. Baruch Hashem. All right, these are the sources. Now, in the Vayom Moshe, beginning on page, Tuf Lamed Gimel. Jack, check Vayom Moshe that I'm quoting it correctly. Tuf Lamed Gimel. He could have ended here. He makes the point, you don't have to learn Dafka in Hebrew. But if you're going to use Hebrew, only use it for Limudei Kodesh. Fine. Don't speak it as a secular language. But here he gets involved with women. And you'll see later why there's a certain, I would say it's the only compromise I know that the Satmar made where it's black and white compromise in writing. Satmar says, certainly we shouldn't teach women Torah and we shouldn't teach women Hebrew. And he quotes all the sources. And he says, and this is his chapa, and here's where you see the Satma Hatgachot Agoynisha Kap. He had a brilliant, brilliant mind. What's his chap? He says, certainly, Bizman Hazeh, we certainly shouldn't teach women Torah. Who says we should teach women Torah? Ben Azai. Why did Ben Azai say we should teach women Torah in case they have to drink of the bitter waters? Nu, Yomo, are there bitter waters today? Do we have a Beit HaMikdash? Sheyibana, but we don't have it right now. We don't have bitter waters. We don't have Hilchot Sota Halacha L'maisa. Abe, if you don't have it, the women don't have to know any Torah. And Israel, the Mizrahi, the Zionists, what's their heter to teach women? There's no Mesota. And even Ben Azai would agree with Rebbe Eliezer, Bizman Hazeh, it's purely Tiflet. All right, that's a chap. We can refute him, I understand. But you got to admit, it's a goynisha chap. This is a chap. You all know Yiddish here. I'm using Yiddish, and no one is smart. Mark Wiener is not here. Mark Wiener is looking at me. There he is. He just waved. Mark, we miss you. We miss you. I have no Talmidim from the Kol. I made a fool out of myself. No, you're talking Natan. Natan is my son. It's not just a Talmud. He was here last year. What are you talking? But I made a jerk out of myself. I spoke to the Kol. I told them about my classes. And I mentioned that if I knew a Rebbe who yet knew Tziv, I would have walked 500 miles to study with that Rebbe by foot. I said, you're looking at someone, I don't know anyone else from the Rebbe's golden era that's still teaching. Remember, my first year I heard from the Rebbe was 1954. I don't know anyone else from the golden era. We spoke about Manfred Fuldi, Rabbi Fuldi yesterday, all right, Rabbi Lichtenstein. They're gone. Someone who knew the Rav in his golden, and yesterday, sheer what I did, I explained the Rav and Reb Aaron and the Soloveitchik family. Wow. And it's Emet Lamita that they were different. You'll see from my next major article, not the one on Zionism, but the major work behind it on rabbinic authority, you'll see the sources I quote. And take a look. I have wonderful students in front of me, but not what should be. But we have to live with reality and be Maidel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and move ahead in dignity. Now, the Satmar Ruf continues Chas V'Chalila to teach women Hebrew. What's wrong with teaching women Hebrew? And he explains, because in order to understand Shas, particularly Mishnah, you have to know Hebrew. If they know Hebrew, it opens Mishnah to them, and once you open Mishnah, it will open the Gemara. And this is why no Hebrew. Wow. All right. Now, he goes into another question, and here you see the Satmar work. There's a Sugyan Bracha. You're all familiar with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel put a Shema up on the Beis Medrash, he made them check the students that they're honest, that they've been a Torah. When I came into, Tocho Kabaro, I was going to just illustrate that. When Tocho Kabaro, the inside like the outside, and when I came into the yeshiva, they used to tell stories. Because remember, I entered in 51, and they still remembered the Revel era. So they used to say about Dr. Revel, I would imagine it's true, because I heard it from so many people, that he would tap a kid on the shoulder and say, "How is your Yiras Shamayim?" And while he was tapping you, he was wanted to feel if you're wearing tzitzit. So this is what it means. They gave you a bechina, wouldn't let you walk in if you didn't wear tzitzit. They wanted to be sure the outside is as good as the inside. The inside is as good as the outside. Now, the Satmar Rav raises the question, why was Rabban Gamliel so makpid? And you see from the Gemara that afterwards they abolished it, and 400 students ran in, and it was a whole machlokes with these real students, or were they phonies? But all right, you know, I used to say, in my time in the Rav Shir, there were 25 students, maybe 30s, in that picture, I think there are 29 students. Maybe there were a few more that are not in the picture, 35. The Rav knew every student by name. It was a much more intimate feeling. When I came back to the yeshiva many years later from Israel, and I came into the Rav Shir, I couldn't believe my eyes. And first of all, maybe 120 students. So one student said to me, "Yes, the Rav doesn't know our names, we don't understand him, but it's very impressive when you're out on a date and you can tell a girl you're a Talmud of the Rav." So, you see, this was the question of filling in the classes. Yes, 400 more empty caskets. No, they did know, they knew a little. Why was Rabban Gamliel so makpid? And here he explains, and his language is very sharp. It's like the language on social media. I just saw language against Chovevei Torah accusing them of every sin in the book. So the Satmar Rav says, what does Tiflit mean? Why were you afraid to teach women Torah? Because intellectually they don't have the background, they can't handle it. They'll disgrace the Torah with their actions, with their interpretations. Students who are not on the level, they'll wind up Tiflit. They'll create, and if the Satmar Rav that he describes, Tiflit. And you can understand already from his descriptions, he's referring to conservative Judaism at that time, JTS, which claimed to be halachically conscious. Today it's not shayach, but I'm talking 50, 60, 70 years ago. He's referring, could very well be, to Yeshiva University, and ein hachinami, you have to be careful. Don't let the masses in. They will wind up being conveyors of Tiflit like the women. All right, he explains Rabban Gamliel. B'dieved, he backs off a little, and he says, nevertheless, with men we have to be more lenient, we have to try our best, because who knows who will come out of Gadol B'Torah. And that too was the Gemara in Brachot, 1,000 come in, 100 come out, 10 come out, 1 come out, but you never know who's going to be the next Gadol Hadar. And not always is it ability. Sometimes it's Hatmadah, sometimes it's a Talmud who seeks and searches, and he blossoms. Can you give me examples of what I'm talking about? That's the Netziv, the famous story with the Netziv, that he didn't appear so sharp, and they wanted to teach him a panasa, a trade. He should make a living, but he remained with Hatmata, and he became the greatest Baki of his generation. There's no question. Chaim had a much more, Reb Yosef Baer, the Beit Halevi, had a much more innovative mind of Chiddush. But the Netziv was the greatest Baki. What he wrote Svarim on the Halachic Midrashim, etc. And ultimately it takes us back to the end of the Gemara in Bracha. What's more important, the Sinai or Okeharim? The Baki or the Harifot? And the truth of the matter is, in my opinion, the Baki is the most important. Harifot is entertaining, it's good, it's inspiring, but if you don't have the Bekiyot, the Harifot is limited. And all right, he backs down a little with men. All right, now I want to begin on page Taf Mem Dalet, and I want to introduce something. My grandson, one of my grandchildren, one of my elder grandsons, they're all older than I am today, but he went to book fair. So he evidently, at book fair, maybe it was three books for two or five books for four. So he knew I was lecturing on the Sakhmarov. So he picked out a book that just came out. It's published by Merkaz Shazar, Hakanoi, HaRebbe Misakhmar Rebbe Yoel Teitelbaum. The English, it's all in Hebrew, but the English title page, The Zealot, by Menachem Karen Kratz. So he said, Saba, you read the book first. I have plenty to read. And he gave it to me. And all right, it's fun like this. I'm always, have many siddurim every day, but one of them is to read books that come out. And I couldn't put the book down. First of all, the author is a very impressive individual. I think he has three different doctorates. He makes a living as a dentist. He has something in social work. And this, he went in Bar-Ilan in the history department. I think it's a doctorate, Hakanai. Now, it's a very fascinating volume. It's about the Sakhmarov's life. It's not dealing with his thinking as much like we're doing in class. He just, you know, in a popular fashion, you can summarize the Sakhmarov in a few pages, but it's about his life. And everything I said a year ago, everything is correct, and he goes into much more detail. But he develops a theory with the Sakhmarov, and here I think he hits the nail on the head, and I'll add a postscript to it. He says, with all the Sakhmarov's kanot, he knew how to make compromises. And with the rabbinate, with his youth, with his brother, with the family, there were compromises along the way. America, it's classic compromises, because they move out of New York, they move upstate, they live among goyim, they go to court. And even today, there's the tremendous compromise which everyone talks about, which has led to bitter battles that in upstate, in what today is called Palm City, which again was Kiryat Yoel before, they have a school that doesn't have mezuzah. It's a public school for children who need special education. And the government had built it, but it has to have public school laws. No religious symbols. And they agreed, a school without mezuzah on the soil of Palm City. So he makes this point that, and there are other examples he gives, and there's truth to it. The only issue which the Satmar never compromised on was where we're sitting, the state of Israel. And here I was told, and I heard this from others too, that Gedolim pleaded with the Satmar, back off. You go too far. And they couldn't budge him. And one Gadol, and it may be, I'll mention the name, they say it was Rabbi Ephraim Yalas, Rabbi Ephraim HaKohen Yalas of Philadelphia. Yomo, I knew him very well. My first rabbinate was in Philadelphia, and I befriended him. He befriended me. He was an Ungarischer, and he only knew every Tosfos and Shas by heart. Natan, you want to know that that's true? He knew every Tosfos and Shas? So let me just tell you. Yutet Kislev, I'm sitting at Fabrenian. The Rebbe, 770. Sitting the row before me is Rav Yalas. The Rebbe is quoting Tosfos by heart. The Rebbe, you know, knew everything by heart. You can see it on YouTube, but it's a fact. He's quoting the Tosfos by heart. Rabbi Ephraim Yalas, in a loud enough voice for me to hear, is running one sentence beyond him to show you that he knows the Tosfos by heart. So if the Rebbe is saying the Yesh Lema, Ephraim Yalas already is Hachi, and he's in already in the Tshuva. He knew every Tosfos by heart. He was, by the way, for those of you who are YU people, Charlie, you remember Reb Meir Simcha Feldblum, Rabbi Feldblum? You had him as a Rebbe, all right? Who was his father-in-law? Rabbi Yalas. He was married to Rabbi Yalas' daughter. She was killed, remember, the Puerto Ricans car racing outside you. Oh, God, the tragedies of life. It's in the, has to be very early 70s, because they called me, and there was no YU person in it. They called me, I arranged the funeral here. And later I taught Meir Simcha's daughter and Meir Simcha's son were both Talmidim of mine, although with the daughter, we did not succeed. With the son, we did. Okay. You know what Rabbi Yalas said when he walked out? It couldn't have been said better. He knows so much, but he quoted the halachic concept, Shota Ledova Echad. When it comes to the state of Israel, you can't budge him. He's a Shota. You follow? There was never a compromise. On everything else, why were there compromises? And this volume brings it out in the form of a doctorate. Two other doctorates have come out very recently, one on Williamsburg and one on Palm City, and both volumes show you how they knew how to compromise, knew how to get along with the government, knew how to get along with the courts, knew how to get along with the politicians. Israel, outside the boundary of compromise. Now, why am I telling you this? Because here too, the Satmar Rav compromised. Now, I alluded to this last term. If you recall last term, we spoke about the Satmar Rav coming to America. We spoke about the Satmar Rav thought he'd only be in America a short while, raise funds, go back to Palestine. Finally, he realizes he's stuck in America and he's going to have to remain in America. Iva l'moshav lo. And he starts organizing institutions. And one of the institutions he organizes in America is a school for girls. And he had, remember I told you, there were Balabatim who criticized him. They can't, it's not like Litvisha. Litvisha, you go over. When we had a problem with the Rav, I remember one Talmud, let me not mention his name. Again, I don't think he's alive. Ugh. These were my friends, my buddies. So he took issue with the Rav in public in class on what we spoke about yesterday, synagogue council. You follow? Chatzav, but in a Litvisha world, you can be a Chatzav. And the Rav told him, all right, you're entitled to your opinion. Charlie, he wound up being a rabbi in a semi-conservative temple. But he took issue with the Rav. He was more of a Kanoi than the Rav. With a Rebbe, it's very hard to take issue. But there was Burcherai. Do you know that word, Abe? Burcherai. No, Natan, how do you translate Bucherai? Bucherai, comments, gossip. Gossip. The Rebbe's off the wall. We didn't have a school for girls in Hungary. We didn't have a school for girls in Budapest. We didn't have a school for girls in Munkács. We didn't have a school for girls in Satmar. Going to have a school for girls? And the Rebbe said yes. Rebbe, you opposed? They said to him, you opposed Beis Yaakov. They teach them too much. And here, beginning on this page, you have the Rebbe justifying why he has a school for girls and giving the curriculum what yes and what no. Now, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, I believe it's Daf Tzadi Dalet, it's in the Sugya, it's in Chelek. I've spoken about this Gemara in great length over the decades. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasot et Chizkiyahu Mashiach. And Chizkiyahu, God loved Chizkiyahu. And one of the reasons that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved Chizkiyahu, the Talmud Torah in his time was overwhelming. He was fighting a battle, he was about to lose the war. He insisted we have to have the schud of Talmud Torah. Everyone has to learn Talmud Torah. And Badku Midonat Be'esheva, they gave a universal test and they didn't find one boy or girl who was in Baki in Kadshim in Tarat. No? Yoma, are you Baki in Kadshim in Tarat? Yeah, Yomo says no, he admits it. I wouldn't say am I Bucky? I've learned through Kachim Vitara twice the Iyun. We'll soon hit it a third time. But I wouldn't say I'm Bucky. Rabbi Lichtenstein was Bucky backwards and forwards by heart. But wow, the women, Bucky and no, what's the answer? How could this be? The same Gemara that talks about you're not allowed to teach your children, women, Torah, Tiflat, Kolomalam, Nebito, and here, Bucky. And the answer, the Satmarav says, is very simple. They have to know Halacha L'maisa. At that time, Kachim and Tarat applied. So you see from that Gemara, it's a very strong proof, you see from that Gemara that women had to know every halacha. And that's one tremendous proof that he brings. Then he brings another proof, and this gets us involved in a question that I heard a lot of Divrei Torah from the Rav. And very simple. Who here is married to a Svadik girl? I have in my family, Kanayin Hara, many Svadik granddaughters-in-law. Their davening is totally different than the Ashkenaziyot. They have to daven from a different sitter. Where is the heart of the difference? What did we say before? A woman can do a mitzvah that she's not obligated. Tell me, can she make a bracha? Interesting question. I make a bracha, we wake up in the morning, lasok with the Divrei Torah v'hara, we make a slew of bracha, but we're obligated in mitzvot. All right, a woman can learn Torah, a woman can take a lulav and etrog, a woman can hear shofar. Can she make a bracha? Tremendous machloket rishonim. The Ashkenazim paskin lahalacha, a woman can make a bracha. The Sfadim paskin lahalacha, a woman cannot. If that's the case, our entire structure of davening is different. Can a woman say Baruch Shema? Can a woman say Yishtabach? Birchat HaMitzvah? Psukei DeZimra? She can say Psukei DeZimra, Tehillim? She can say Shmoneh Esrei? But it's a different davening. Now, when it comes to Birchat HaTorah, they are already more Rishonim, including Sfadik Rishonim, who say a woman can make a bracha. What does that say to us? That, you see, with other mitzvot, if a woman is not commanded, it could be she takes a lulav and etrog, but it's not really a lulav and etrog. It's symbolic. It's zeichel adafa. She can't make a bracha. We Ashkenazim say, well, she's not obligated, but if she wishes to take the lulav and etrog, it's a lulav and etrog. She can make a bracha. When it comes to Talmud Torah, could be even the Rambam, she can make a bracha. What does that show us? She creates a chefza of Torah. And you see from there, the women of Achad Birchat HaTorah, that there's nothing wrong with their learning Torah. It's just what they learn has to be different than a man. A man, and I used to give this illustration. I admit I'm making up the story. But I taught in BMT, Machon Gold, Michalat at the same time. I carried notes back and forth. I'm not making this up. I used to have an envelope, it read BMT. An envelope, it read Machon Gold. Boys in BMT used to give me notes. For girls, either Michalar envelope, Machon Gold envelope. Girls would give me notes for BMT. I carried the notes back and forth. So I would say, my dear students, I came to Richie's. Abe, do you remember Richie's? Tell Natan, he doesn't know what we're talking about. The first pizza parlor in Israel, Rehov King George, when he retired, he wrote a big article in the Jerusalem Post, thanks for the memories. Today, my grandchildren think pizza is indigenous to Israel. I say, go to Italy and find out where it came from. Richie's. I met a boy and a girl there, my Talmidim. I said to the girl, what are you doing here, wasting time? She said, Rebbe, I finished the entire Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I said, great, enjoy your pizza, I'm going to pay for a second portion. I said to the boy, what are you doing here? I finished the entire Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I said, get out of here immediately. Go back to the basement. The Shiratan, Vishnu, the Middle Shiratan, Kriyas, Kanyas, Pritas, the Trek, the Generate, the Mount, Scriptations. Apikoiris! You have an obligation to learn Kola Torah Kula. You finish Kitzur, big deal. What about Shas, Paiskim? Mishayinim, Achrayinim. Get the difference? In other words, the Satmar recognizes that women have to learn Torah. Women can learn Torah, but the curriculum is different. Halacha, that they're chayavot in. And I have to tell you, on an elementary level, I would totally agree with him. Our question today is that women are conquering the world. And if you're going to limit their Torah learning, it's giving them a message that Torah, Halacha, Devar Hashem are less important than all that you can do beyond. And again, it's giving them a message that we think less of women than men. And the truth is, what I saw in my life, we think more of women than men. Eishet chayil miyimsa. When I think of the relationship between Mori Urebi and Rebbetzin Tanya, if you saw the relationship between Reb Aaron Cutler and his wife, if you saw Reb Issa Zalman and his wife, she edited his writings, his chidushim, the publication. You saw the relationship between Reb Moshe and his wife. I don't know. I absolutely think that we think more of women than we do of men. Now, here's very fascinating. Tuf Nun Aleph. Here he gets involved with the Chafetz Chaim I quoted to you. You cannot discuss the study of women studying Torah without getting involved with the Chafetz Chaim. What's fascinating here is when the Lubavitcher Rebbe was attacked, he said public, you know, for teaching women, encouraging, he said, what's Vilna say for me? What do they want out of me? The Chafetz Chaim already took this viewpoint. And of course, everything goes back to the Chafetz Chaim because he published in the Likutei Halachot, and anyone who studies Masechet Seitan knows this Chafetz Chaim. So, on page Tuf Nun Aleph, I'll put it this way. He says everyone quotes the Chafetz Chaim, but they're misinterpreting the Chafetz Chaim. And watch what he does. What does the Chafetz Chaim say? I'll quote the words directly. That Chafetz Chaim says, Abo ke'etvon avetenu harabim she'kabalat ha'ovot nitrofeif ma'od ma'od mitzvah rabbah lelamdam chumish. Underline the word chumish. Gam neviim uktuvim umusarei chazal. Very fascinating. So what do you see here? Chumish, neviim, ktuvim, basic knowledge. The Satmar Rav says, how dare you go beyond it? Does the Chafetz Chaim say Chumish, I'm quoting the Satmar Rav now, Chumish im Rashi? He just says Chumish alone. And how dare they teach Chumish with Rashi and everything they teach in the Beit Yaakov? Because the minute you teach Chumash and Rashi, in Rashi, a Maimarei Chazal, and you're opening up to them the entire Sifrit of Chazal, beginning with Midrashim, which can lead later to Gemara. And they're misinterpreting the Chafetz Chaim. And here you should ask a question. Do you know what the Tzenna Verena was? Tzenna Verena was, in Yiddish, women, when men were Mabasedra, women studied the Tzenna Verena. Those who knew how to read and write, that was a big achievement. Some just read it, but I would hope that they understood the words. There were women who taught it, these women in the synagogues. And he says, but we see Tzenna Verena, Menorah Tamar, but don't bring this as a proof. And he says, yes, they had Divrei Chazal, but the Satmar Rav is quoting Charlie. He says, yes, but Lashon Ashkenaz lo hevinu shum drasha, that they didn't really understand it. Ela niklat b'levavam mehamusa v'hamidat shamru chazal. What they did gain out of it was the musa, the midat. I would say it's a feeling of holiness. But chas v'chalila, to go into depth, to go into detail. All right, this is the Satmar Rav, and they develop schools. I'm told from people who teach there that Satmar, their schools are excellent. In other words, they really put the effort in, they put the money in, there's respect for teachers, it's a certain aura. The women who feel happy and fulfilled in this type of lifestyle come out of it on a very fine level. They marry within the community. It is true, I don't have to elaborate, that there are women who are raised in this type of education who later rebel with hatred and enmity and bring great shame upon Torah Hashem, including, some of them have written books, I don't want to quote the books, very frightening. I read some of the literature. It's frightening, and it's frightening to me what they think of people like Rakefet. They think we're so-called modern Orthodox, that we're matir isurim, that we're allowed to eat in a non-kosher restaurant, that we're accepting homosexuality and lesbianism as being normative. It's frightening to me. And I can tell you why you were suffering from a lady who grew up in this atmosphere. Abe, you know what I'm talking about? Why you, we spoke about it, I actually can give you later if you want. The Agudat Yisrael just joined YU as a friend of the court. It's going to the Supreme Court now. And Agudat Yisrael put in a whole brief supporting YU, which is very good, very nice. I thank my Talmud, Reb David Katz, for sending it to me. And I said as a joke, YU was brought under by Lakewood, Touro, and Satmar. And boy, is my joke correct. Who was the judge who ruled that YU has to recognize the illegal club, I'll call it? Judge Cutler. Well, what does that remind you of immediately? Lakewood, Rabarin Cutler. Cutler's the name of the judge. Follow? Where did she get her degree in law? Touro University. That's where she got her degree. Third, who is one of the people in this pride, whatever they call themselves, there's a name. It's Yeshiva University versus YU Pride Alliance. Who is one of the people in this Pride Alliance? It's the Satmarov's great niece, and going back to earlier generations, a great-great-granddaughter. And she grew up in the right-wing world. Myself, it's from Chicago. Don't ask, it sickens me. And she thought that she could go to Stern College, and in Stern College they accept lesbianism, etc. And in other words, all I can say, I don't want to be critical of Satmar, within their understanding, within their rabbinic leadership, these schools, I'm told, are on a very high level and turn out very wonderful frum ladies who marry and perpetuate Satmar thinking. But there are cases of rebellion, and where there is rebellion, we have Chilul Hashem, and this is only one example of many I can give. Okay. By the way, let me make clear, Julia Hart did not go to Satmar. She went to, from what I understand, Beis Yaakov, and she was married to a man who was successful business-wise and frum, but more towards, from what I understand, the modern Orthodox world. And her rebellion, and it's turned already into a whole movie and a whole Netflix and a sitcom. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam. And what she did to her family, it hurts. But we have to live with reality. People have freedom of choice. That's the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made the world. Okay. Let me go one step further today and we'll finish the Vayom Moshe. Satmi here, and here it's on page Taf Nun Bet. And this I've seen with my own eyes. When I was a Rebbe in the YU, in your time, so I told you I never skipped the Gemara. We'd hit Agadah. I always felt Agadah's important. Agadah, and the older I am, though, I realize the more important it is. But I didn't skip that. I never considered it. In the Litvish Welt, I considered the Agadah a waste of time. The Hasidic world had a much more positive attitude. But the older I get, the more I see the Chassidim are right here. But you come to a Gemara of sex. And here, just the opposite. The Chassidim could skip it, and the Misnagdim should not. If you know Gerich Chassidus, I knew the Rav who was there. Anyone who had a sexual problem, they referred him to this Rav, who was an early YU graduate. She lived and be well. When I say live and be well, I'm talking a generation that's entirely gone. We should live and be well. He was an early YU graduate, and he was a big Talmud Chacham, just a wonderful person. He cried to me that in Ger, when they get married, they don't know the basic facts of life, ad kedei kach. And there'd be problems afterwards. But in the Litvish Welt, all right, you learn Ketuvot, Yevamot, Kedushin, Gittin, I would never skip anything. Why? Because I said if you skip something, that's what the students are going to search out and learn. And better they should learn it with a Rebbe than learn it on their own. I have seen textbooks with entire paragraphs blocked out by black markers. And you can see that, I hope, not anymore, but in Beit Yaakov, Satmar, their biggest enemy was the libraries. And they would refer to books in the libraries, bicha. When they would use the word bicha, that's a euphemism for a book that's totally against God, against Torah. They refer to Reb Nissim Kamenetsky, Zeichet Tzadik Levrach. I have no idea how much it aggravates me what they did to him. They shortened his life, Halacha L'maisa, and they called his two volumes on making of a Gadol Bis nishna, nishna vi abucha, bicha. In other words, it's not a sefer, not something of kedusha. This is something of apikursus and anti-Torah. And here the Satmar Rav says, we have a tremendous problem with women. In America we have libraries, and women love to go to the libraries. And in these libraries, they have Sfarim Hamalayim Ta'avatra Otu Minutu Kfira Rachlonim is Rachmana Litzlan Kol Mum Ra V'kol Shosheicha Avot Mizikin Hein V'toldoteihem Munachim Bachem. And it's a play on halachic concepts. What do we refer to? Our ba'avot nezikin and the toldot of the nezikin. And these books in the library are filled with the avot and the toldot. And here he says, this is b'nafshamhu. You their souls can be totally pulled away from Yiddishkeit. Ubifrat b'habanot ha-kavarim b'svarim ke'elu b'mei nu'reihem shedai ba'tichla al kol yemei chayeihem. And here he's making this tremendous point that you can pick up concepts in your youth that affect your entire life. And women, much worse than men. Why? Yoma, very simple. Have you ever been to Satma? Have you ever spoken to the men, to the women? The men speak English. I was once talking with a Satma in Borough Park, very respectful. Oh, you learn by the Rav. All right, I learn by the Rebbe, you learn by... Very respectful. What an accent in his English. I said, where were you born? He says, in Borough Park. I said, you sound like you were born in Budapest. The women master English perfectly. They don't have to study Shas and Poskim. They study English. They go to the library. Oh, the Satma Rav here. And Chas v'Chalila to go to the library. And once they have those books, you cannot tell how much it corrupts their life. So that there's no question he's made a compromise here. There's no doubt that in Munkach and in Satma, they did not have schools for women in their Hasidiyot. There were already modern schools, but we have to be honest, it existed. But not in Satma, not in Munkach for the Hasidim. And here in America, he recognizes what the Chafetz Chaim says is correct. But limit their curriculum. Don't teach Rashi. Chumash, yes. Rashi, no. Libraries, totally forbidden. Today, I understand that in Satma, they have their own English textbooks. It's like here in Israel, that the Chinuch Mamlachti Dati has textbooks which they're using now in the core curriculum of the Haredi world, where the mathematic books, the textbooks, reflect Torah as well. You don't have to use general textbooks which have no mention of Torah, Chagim, Yiddishkeit. We've succeeded. Satma succeeded. Now, I end off the class with the end of Vayom Moshe. What did I say an hour ago? That maybe the source for women learning Torah is Hatel. Well, if women are obligated in Hatel, maybe you can make a case as well. You have to teach them Hebrew. You have to teach them Hebrew so they'll understand when the Torah is being read. What are you saying, Yo?
That's what the Chafetz Chaim said.
But he was against teaching women Hebrew, and maybe this will be a big proof against the Satma.
He wasn't against teaching them Chumash.
Say that. If you're going to be right, you create a problem for him. If they know Hebrew, they can open up a Gemara and start to master. They open up Mishnayot. Mishnayot is in Hebrew. He gives a better answer than you give. He says, he quotes sources from the Sefer Hasidim that, yes, they read at Hakel in public. And the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Chagigah, Daf Gimel, I believe, that the women and the children come along to, they didn't really understand, but they came along for the experience. He quotes a source in Sefer Hasidim that there was a metagamin. That yes, they read the Chumash in Hebrew, but the women didn't have to understand the Hebrew. There was a Tirgum. And he says it could even be that the king himself, when he read afterwards, was mitargim it into the language. Sheyagiyu la'aznei kol Yisrael migadol Ad katan, the alkopanim ein kusham imashra mruna shimba otlishmoa af shaloya dula shon hakodesh. they will hear the translation, and that will be part of the wonderful experience, Motzai Shnat HaShemitah, Hakel, of reconnecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right. Ad kan Vayom Moshe. We made a siyum, and Yomo, you should supply a bissel bramfen, and we'll drink a l'chaim. To summarize what we did today, it's not in the original Vayakel Moshe. That was only devoted to the three oaths, and that's the most famous part. They're not speaking Hebrew, and they're not speaking Hebrew as real. You should know, I told you the story of my student, Dr. Preschel. She teaches in a Satma high school for a while. It wasn't permanent. And the class is noisy, and she says, she had just come back from Israel, Michola, and she says, Sheket! And the class went into pandemonium. Asur, it's verboten. You're not allowed. Sheket. You have to say, Shah, not Sheket. But, okay. The third area, of course.
How did they know?
That the word meant? Good question. I'll ask Pearl, write to Pearl. Her name is Pearl Herzog, and ask her the question. Maybe she's listening. Pearl, if you're listening, how did they know? You're almost asking a good question. Then in the third section, of course, is Maima Lashon HaKodesh. I skipped the Maima Yeshiv Yisrael. We spoke about that too. The third is Maima Lashon HaKodesh. And here he digresses with women. Very fascinating material. And no question that when it comes to women, he made a compromise. And that compromise within the confines of the narrow halacha, lemaisa, and even the Chafetz Chaim, he tries to compromise. He said Chumash, he didn't say Rashi. I need not tell you we can take the Chafetz Chaim and expand it in every generation. Once we understand that the civilization has changed, then the new civilization has to adapt itself to Devar Hashem Zu Halacha, and with the understanding of women. And today, Mori Rebbe, the Lubavitcher, all of Chinuch Atzmai, Beis Yaakov, I need not tell you the whole yeshiva world of the Torah Mitzion and religious Zionism, the curriculum is much broader for women. And I'm really overjoyed in the state of Israel, what I have seen in my 53 years here. Imagine men and women can basically study anything they want, and it can be within a Torah context. And I've seen it with my own family, how the children grew up, and the chinuch, and the choice before you. And even when you talk about women, if they want to study music, they want to study art, can all be done within a Torah context. You want to study movies. Just now in the Shul I daven in Chamariv, suddenly I see a group there talking with the Gabbai. The Gabbai is from Seattle originally. I taught everyone in his family except the Gabbai per se. Taught his sister, taught his brother, taught his sisters-in-law, his brothers-in-law, everyone in the family except Reb Aaron Katzman. And they're talking with Reb Aaron. They want to use the movie, the shul, for a movie. And I see the guy in charge wears a big kippah. And I see he talks English with an accent, means comes of grandparents, Americans, but it's parents probably spoke English without an accent. He's with an accent, but he knows English. It's fluent. And he starts talking. I say, who are you? Where you're at? Turns out I taught his mother. I was bosom buddies with his grandfather and grandmother, Zichronam Avrach. I told him about when they got engaged, what the Rav said at the engagement party. The kid didn't even know that his grandmother came from Boston originally. Ribbono shel Olam. Then I come back one day for Mincha Mariv, and there were more trucks parked and more camera equipment than lighting and schmiting and microphones than I ever saw, even on the streets of New York when they were doing a movie. And there they are doing a movie in the shul. It was Yom Kippur, and everyone with kittel. I couldn't believe my eyes. And there's one big professor who davens there. He, you know, I'm a humble guy. I was ready to go daven elsewhere. I don't know what's going on. I walk on another. If you know where Ol Aaron is, in Ol Rivka, it's a 2-minute walk to Ol Rivka. I'll daven in there. He can, 7:15, we're davening. I don't give a hoot. We'll be finished. They talk a finish. And we daven. Not all of them daven. That was amazing. Here it's Yom Kippur. And a minute later, diving with, no, they're actors. I don't know who they are. But we've achieved. Okay, Adkan the Satma. Natan, I wouldn't miss next week for all the soldiers in Russia and in the Ukraine who are bothering Yomo to take a side. And the Rebbe is going to be writing today why we can't take a side in the article I'm preparing on Russia. And I wouldn't miss next week, because you know what next week is? The Six-Day War. Charlie, do you know who wrote the first book to come out about the Six-Day War? The Satmar Ruf. That's next week. Oh, wow. Now, I don't know what to do. I'll never have a class again. Corona killed. No, it's a miracle you and Charlie come. Everyone else is relaxing, looking at me from afar on the screen. After I spoke to the Kollel, not one student showed. It's beyond my comprehension. But I got to go on teaching. I have too many students to disappoint. Beyond my comprehension. Okay, some of the people are away. They can't come because they're in the States right now, but they'll be back. But okay, Be'ezrat Hashem. Sunday, I have one more tshuva to do on mikvot, which will take 10 minutes. It's not major, but it's fascinating, and I want to show the difference between Chicago and between this question. And then we pick up Reb Menashe Klein, forget about the tax problems, etc. We pick up, what's it called, an ultrasound that they do with a pregnant woman. And we're going to get involved. I'm going to have to quote Gemaras that I never thought I would quote in public. But it's amazing. There's Reb Menashe Klein quoting everything. And right here in Gris, I found sources. Wow, it's a different generation. They talk about Abe, everything. And my generation, we will, I'm not a prude, but I don't know, people today would say I'm prudish. I can't, all right, I have to live with reality. I want to thank all the wonderful students for sitting in front of me and honoring me. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should continue in health and strength. Until we meet again in health and happiness, das v'danya. Yomo, open it to the world. Now, do you know how he opens it? You're watching just to
recording stopped.
Just to know that someone else knows the whole procedure. I mean, this morning he davened the Lan Yishmon Esrei and no one's here, and my breath is... Okay, then we lifted him up. Are there any questions from around the world? Everyone is silent. Mark Licht, be aware that I appreciate what you sent me, and Mark is going to be very moved to see that. How do you have it? You photographed it before you... Well, we can't hear you. Yoma, I can't hear a word.
I'm unmuted.
What?
It was among my parents' things.
But you said you had to bury it. You threw it away.
Right, during Hurricane Sandy, it was waterlogged.
But when did you photograph?
One of the things I had to put away, but I took a picture of it before I put it into Shems.
A very big yashikayach. Okay, until we meet again in health and happiness, thank you very much for honoring me with your presence on the screen. Jack, your summaries of the Shem are fabulous. I can't believe how much I touched till I see the summary. I say, wow, I did do a great deal. All right, we should meet again in health and happiness. Das Vedanya.